Good afternoon. It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Stay tuned at 12 straight up for our update from the Kodiak Emergency Services Director. Dylan Simard has a story about Doc Meyer's retirement.
Good afternoon. Thank you for listening in today, February 4th, 2021. My name is Mike Twenge. The Emergency Services Council met again this morning to discuss the Community Mitigation Plan risk level. Some members of the council are with me right now for this update. Today, the EOC is reporting zero new cases from yesterday, which is really comforting. However, we still have 17 active cases still in quarantine. The goal is to stop this virus from replicating and further mutating. To do that, we need to avoid becoming a close contact and vaccinate. The yellow risk level, the mask mandate, the capacity limits, and overall preventative health measures have achieved the goal of not overwhelming our healthcare system and allowed schools to conduct in-person learning. Let's not easily forget the hunker down period and the overall 5 months of school closure we all endured. The virus is still circulating within our state and this community. Therefore, the Emergency Services Council has chosen to continue with these important safeguard measures and to remain in risk level yellow and quarantine face masks in public places. The community has really buckled down to reduce the virus spread. So let's continue these actions. Alaska has the lowest hospitalization rates, the highest vaccination rates, and has conducted the most COVID tests per capita than any other U.S. state. Last Friday, the Emergency Operations Center and Public Health vaccinated 120 residents, 65 years and older, and a few frontline healthcare workers. Dr. Kohler held a second dose clinic yesterday and will hold another clinic this Saturday out at AAA Moving and Storage. KCHC is hosting vaccination clinics as well. So providers are vaccinating with the doses available from the state, and our February vaccine allotment will be available here in Kodiak this week. Right now, the open tier group is 65 and older and healthcare providers. We're all anxiously waiting for the next tier group to be announced by the state. Kodiak EOC has asked when this information will be released, and no announcement is available yet. Vaccination allotments are determined by the state, as you know, and based on population. We've heard about the UK variant. The B.1.17 virus variant is said to be more contagious than any previous COVID-19 strain and appears to reduce the vaccine efficacy. Currently, there appears to be only one known case in Alaska. We hope that remains true. The good news is the Pfizer and Moderna are 95% efficient at reducing severe COVID symptoms. So please vaccinate when your tier group becomes available. Visit covidvax.alaska.gov to register for your vaccine appointment. You may also call the Kodiak Senior Center at 486-6181. For assistance with registration. Announced yesterday, masks are required for all public transportation and within those terminals. This change is in addition to the previous requirement of only while on the airplane or in the ferry. Airport greeters are still meeting air passengers, and the harbor staff continues to monitor incoming vessels. All Kodiak Island Borough schools are open, and recreation activities are active. CANA and KCHC are still providing COVID testing. So if you have symptoms, get tested. Viral load is greatest at the onset of symptoms, making you more contagious. Again, avoid human-to-human contact to reduce the virus spread. We should actually be taking all mitigation measures to absolutely contain the virus and stop it from replicating and mutating, posing a risk to the vaccine already produced. Many of us are concerned about the mandates imposed with the intent of reducing the active COVID virus throughout the state. Let me provide you with my perspective. We are so used to wanting everything now. We have high-speed internet, we have drive-through windows, we have mail order at our doorstep. But we need to be patient, folks. A global pandemic can last for years. It has already been a year, and nationally, people are still becoming sick and dying. We still have months to go before we reach some form of herd immunity. So stay united and protect our island residents and our way of life. Mask up. Continue to mask up. Avoid becoming a close contact. Vaccinate if you choose, but please don't stop the momentum we have collectively achieved. Stay safe this weekend. It's Super Bowl weekend. Thank you for your time today, and we'll see you again next Thursday for another community COVID update.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
As we just heard, the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization has reported no new cases of COVID-19 for today for the Kodiak Island Borough. This leaves the total case count at 1045 since the start of the pandemic, with 17 cases classified as active locally. To date, there have been 42 hospitalizations and 5 deaths associated with COVID-19 on Kodiak. There are currently no active cases currently hospitalized. The Kodiak Lions Club has found the COVID pandemic challenging, as any institution has. But according to Jeremiah Doc Myers, a veteran local Lions Club member, the effects locally and internationally have been devastating.
This has been like leprosy. It's just, it's hurt our clubs world over. There's a lot of clubs just not meeting, died, you know. And it's funny, more in the United States than Europe or, you know, it's amazing. India and that area has prospered in membership, motivated them. Let's help people. They're really hurting. Let's get together. And we're looking at that, trying to motivate for that, but it's hard. It's hard to get excited when you're hunkered down.
Much of the group's fundraising is based on events or internal among membership. With gatherings seriously limited, fundraising is down as well. Even so, Doc says that in spite of these challenges, the Lions have still been able to do some limited fundraising.
COVID has dwindled our meetings and project ability. I mean, our funds primarily came from games of chance. And when you close down the bars or break them down to 25% capacity, where all the pull tabs and that kind of stuff is, the revenue dissipates too. And so, well, we had a couple fundraisers last summer. We cook a lot of hamburgers when there's a concert. And we had a garage sale that actually raised $5,000, which only could happen because the Coast Guard couldn't have their annual hangar garage sale. So we put it on and we did good.
These funds go to an impressive array of local projects and causes, including the maintenance of local parks, constructing shelters by hand for local bus stops, building wheelchair ramps for local homes, and international efforts. Aiding the blind in particular is a cause that unites Lions clubs around the world. In the meantime, the roughly 70 members of the Kodiak Lions Club look forward to a post-pandemic world when they can get back to their charitable work. Doc Myers, who recently retired from his decades-long eye care practice on Kodiak, will be joining KMXT's Jared Griffin for Talk of the Rock this coming Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. to discuss his time in Kodiak and more. Well, today, the Canadian government announced a ban on cruise ships in Canadian waters until February of 2022. This order effectively shuts down Alaska's 2021 cruise season. Juneau City Manager Rory Watt says he isn't surprised. It's not a done deal in Watt's mind, though, and then the order from the Canadian government could be rescinded if the pandemic conditions improve before February. But in Skagway, Mayor Andrew Cremata doesn't see any way forward in the meantime. One small bright spot, small cruise ships that start and end in Alaska will be able to operate when they meet COVID-19 protocols from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But if Southeast Alaska port communities are going to weather another year without revenue from cruise ship passengers and related businesses, Watt said it's not going to happen without some help. Juneau officials, at least for now, aren't panicking. Watt says it's best at the municipal level to take a breath and start calmly planning. Tourism companies, however, he said, should be scrambling right now to figure out what they'll do when the ships don't come. In Skagway, a town hall meeting planned for next week to discuss backup plans now that the cruise tourism is officially off the table this summer. The Alaska House of Representatives elected a temporary speaker today, Independent Representative Josiah Putkatuk from Ukviavik will preside over the House until there's a permanent speaker. 17 days into the legislative session, this is the first action the House has successfully taken. The step doesn't resolve the divide that has prevented the chamber from picking a permanent speaker and organizing committees or from considering legislation. Putkatuk was elected in November at the age of 26 and is the second youngest member of the House. He expressed optimism in his first words after taking the gavel. As an independent, Putkatuk has been seen as potentially an important vote in determining the House majority. On previous votes for temporary speaker, he has joined the members of the former House Majority Coalition, which includes 15 Democrats, three other independents, and Kodiak Republican Representative Louise Stutes. Putkatuk's fellow Bush Caucus members, representing predominantly rural districts in northern and western Alaska, are members of the coalition. A brand new Coast Guard cutter has been named after a 19th century sailor who lost his life in the Aleutians. Charles Moulthrop served with distinction aboard a ship in the Cutter Revenue Service. As KUCB's Maggie Nelson reports, his namesake will soon set sail 125 years later.
Near the base of Mount New Holland on Alaska, among several weathered Orthodox crosses, a tall stone marks the grave of Seaman Charles Moulthrop.
Born April 25th, 1873. Killed, it's tough to see, July 16th, 1896. He's only 23.
Moulthrop was buried in Unalaska in 1896 after he died during service in nearby waters. He was 23, but his name lives on. The first modern U.S. Coast Guard cutter is named for this enlisted member of the Revenue Cutter Service. Coast Guard Senior Chief Petty Officer Sarah Muir says it's in recognition of the sacrifices made by him and others in the Revenue Service, the Coast Guard's predecessor.
The first 10 revenue cutters were 10 ocean-going cutters, and we're talking about wooden vessels with sails that were built at the behest of the United States Congress in the early 1790s, largely to crack down on smuggling.
Moulthrop is recognized for heroically saving the lives of his crewmates off the Oregon coast.
They encountered a storm and several of his shipmates went overboard, and he actually saved them almost single-handedly, diving over the side of the ship with a rope, having his shipmates on the vessel tow them back aboard.
Moulthrop died shortly after this incident while trying to unfurl a flag atop the mast of the ship near Unalaska. The cutter named for him is part of a group of new Sentinel-class 154-foot fast-response cutters, Muir says. It is the first of six of these ships that will be homeported in Bahrain to support the U.S. Navy in the Persian Gulf, and which will replace older, smaller cutters.
It's designed for multi-missions, including drug and migrant interdiction, ports, waterways, coastal security, fisheries patrol, search and rescue, and national defense. We are acquiring these to replace the 1980s era Island class 110-foot patrol boats.
According to Muir, when those ships are decommissioned, they can be used for a variety of things.
Some of them have been used as artificial reefs. Some of them have been used as training vessels or have been transferred to other U.S. government agencies, and some have been sold through the Excess Defense Articles Act through the State Department to navies and coast guards of other nations.
There are currently 40 of these fast response cutters in service, two of which have home ports in Alaska. Muir says the cutter Charles Malthrop will be escorted to Bahrain with its sister ship, the Robert Goldman, after it is commissioned next month in Florida. In Unalaska, I'm Maggie Nelson.
Hilcorp Alaska is looking to build two gas exploration wells near Anchor Point later this year. The Texas-based company has requested approval from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to build an oil-gas combination well and a gas-only well in Whiskey Gulch, 3 miles northeast of Anchor Point. It also wants to build a gravel pad and access road on the privately owned property above the lease. The proposal is for a gas prospect. An NSTAR natural gas line runs by the site down to the southern part of the peninsula. Hilcorp is the biggest oil and gas producer in Cook Inlet. The Texas-based company owns several onshore gas wells, including Seaview Unit south of Anchor Point, and operates most of the inlet's offshore platforms. In its application, the company proposes constructing the gravel access road and pad in April. DNR says the company could start drilling June 1st. Any future production would need to be approved in a separate permitting process. Comments are due to the DNR by March 4th. A link to Hilcorp's application is on the online version of this story, which you can find at kdll.org. Five Mat-Su schools are temporarily closed due to recent COVID-19 cases. The district reported two new COVID-19 cases on Wednesday. Seven of those were at Colony Middle School, and seven were reported yesterday at Pioneer Peak Elementary. Both schools are among the five that will move to online learning through the end of the week. The overall number of cases has remained steady in the district over the last several weeks, but Wednesday's announcements represent a jump in school closures. District spokesperson Jillian Morrissey says that some of the new cases are a result of transmission within the schools due to, quote, maskless activities, unquote. The Mat-Su School District is the largest district in the state that has conducted in-person classes since the beginning of the school year. A federal judge has denied requests by conservation groups that she block ConocoPhillips from starting construction work this winter on its massive oil discovery called Willow. The conservation groups sued the Trump administration last year, arguing it violated environmental laws when approving the Willow project in the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska, on the western North Slope. The groups also asked the U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason to block Conoco from starting any construction on Willow until the lawsuits are resolved. Gleason denied those requests on Monday. Conoco said yesterday that it will begin laying gravel for the project soon. According to court documents, the company's work this winter includes the construction of gravel and ice roads, as well as the opening of a gravel mine. Conoco said it expects oil production to start around 2026. Meanwhile, the conservation groups say they'll appeal Gleason's decision. They say the broader lawsuits aimed at stopping the project will also continue. The Biden administration has chosen Anchorage attorney Natalie Landreth for a high-ranking job in the Interior Department. Landreth has worked for the Native American Rights Fund for 17 years. She's worked to protect Native voting rights. Last year, she successfully challenged the state's requirement that mail-in ballots have witness signatures, the most common reason such ballots hadn't been counted. Landreth also worked to develop tribal jurisdiction in Alaska. Her new job will be Deputy Solicitor for Lands. The job entails providing legal counsel on public land use, natural resource management, and land protection. Landreth is a citizen of the Chickasaw Nation of Oklahoma. The announcement from the Biden administration says her ancestors survived the Trail of Tears when the federal government forcibly removed tens of thousands of Native Americans from their land.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Apply now to learn the fishing life. More on a crew training program after this.
Seafood Auction says thanks to longline fishermen and seafood buyers for a successful 2020 season and looks forward to working together again in 2021. Learn more at seafoodauction.net.
The call is out to apply for crew training for those who want to learn firsthand the fishing life. It's the fourth year that the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association in Sitka has hosted the program, which has drawn over 120 applicants each year. So far, it's brought aboard nearly 35 new boots on deck by more than 25 skippers. 64 more have gotten advanced onshore training.
Traditionally, a lot of our apprentices or crew member trainers are on longliners and trollers, but we do offer like a shorter term experience, maybe on a gillnetter or a seiner, maybe just for a day or even a week, or just see how that goes. And I know last year we actually did have a couple recent high school graduates. They went out on a tender.
Natalie Sattler is Program and Communications Director for ALFA and its Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust. Funding for the program comes from the National Wildlife Federation and Alaska Community Foundation Workforce Development. And while it attracts interest in the U.S. and globally, a priority is recruiting young Alaskans, especially from rural regions.
We have shared a lot of our resources and tools with other organizations. Recently, I've been speaking with folks in Bristol Bay who want to start something up. We've shared our resources with Sea Grant.
Sattler says many crew members return each year to fish with the same skippers. One is troller Eric Jordan aboard his troller, the Igotta.
Finding crew with some experience is so critical to the future of the industry as a whole. So it's a win-win for both the crew members and the skippers.
The fishing apprentices are paid for their work. The minimum age is 18, and deadline to apply for the deckhand training program is March 1st. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the fourth day of February, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:05 and it will set again at 5:44 p.m., giving us 8 hours and 39 minutes of daylight. That's a gain of 4 minutes and 33 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record low for this day was 0, set in both 1968 and 99. Our record high was 51, set in 1985. That record is safe. Oh, what happened to my weather? It is currently 21 degrees here in Kodiak. Let me just go to Wendy. See what she says. We're looking for it to get to 26, 20, 28 degrees today. Winds as high as 5 miles per hour, just 4 or 5 miles per hour winds from the northwest. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up on the east side at 1:09 p.m., a 1.25-foot tide. Our next high tide will be at 7:12 p.m. of 5.9 feet, followed by a low tide after midnight at 12:45 a.m. of 2.2 feet, and our high tide for tomorrow morning here on the east side will be at 7:26 a.m., 8.73 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Uganic Pass tides, you have a low tide coming up at 1:35 this afternoon of 1.85 feet, followed by a high tide at 7:44 p.m. of 11.59 feet. Your next low tide will be at 1:37 a.m. of 3.7 feet, followed by a high tide tomorrow morning on the west side at 7:50 a.m. of 14.11 feet. Mariners, here's your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 1,016 millibar low, 35 nautical miles west of Middleton Island, will dissipate Thursday afternoon. A 1,020 millibar low will develop near Middleton Island Friday afternoon and drift east through Saturday. As a result, we are looking for small craft advisories for a Friday for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. North wind 15 knots right now and seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, look for southwest wind to 15 knots, becoming west 30 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas building to 11 feet tomorrow. And for Friday night, look for west wind to 30 knots, seas to 10 feet on the east side. Or on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory for Friday as well. Variable 10 right now and seas to 2 feet, but for tonight, southeast 15, seas to 2 feet, will build to 4 feet after midnight. And for Friday, southwest west wind to 15 knots will go to the west and to 25 knots in the afternoon. Seas will build to 7 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. And for Friday night, west 25, seas to 7 feet. Looking at inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Chiniac Bay, small craft advisory for Friday, variable less than 10 right now and seas to 2 feet. But for Friday, those west winds of 10 knots will increase to 25 knots in the afternoon. Seas building to 4 feet Friday afternoon in Chiniac Bay. In Marmot Bay, small craft advisory Friday, northwest 10 right now, becoming variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. But for tomorrow, variable 10 will become west 25 knots tomorrow afternoon, seas building to 4 feet in Marmot Bay tomorrow afternoon, and to 5 feet tomorrow night in Marmot Bay. The Kodiak Community Health Center is hosting a COVID-19 vaccine clinic on Saturday, February 6th. That is this Saturday. It's for established healthcare patients who meet the current state guidelines. Please check the state website at covidvax/Alaska to see if you are eligible. Then call 481-5000, that's 481-5000, to make an appointment to get your vaccine. And again, they're hosting that clinic next Saturday. You need to check the covidvax/Alaska website and call them at 481-5000. The Kodiak Maritime Museum is having their annual meeting. The public is invited to a brief business meeting followed by stories, songs, and poetry by Fisher poets Mo Bostern, Melanie Brown, and Steve Schoonmaker. That starts at 6:30 p.m. on Friday. And you can find the Zoom link to the meeting at the Kodiak Maritime Museum Facebook page or go to the Kodiak Maritime Museum website. You can also call them at 486-0384. The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting tonight. That's happening at 6:30 p.m. via teleconference, and you'll need to go to the Kodiak Borough website to find a link to attend. Tuesday, February 9th, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 is having their board meeting. That's happening at 6 p.m. at the Bayside Fire Station next Tuesday. Kodiak City Council will be holding a planning meeting on Saturday. The meeting will begin at 9 a.m. Public participation for this meeting will be virtual. For everyone's protection, there will be no public in-person attendance. The meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. And for those who wish to request printed meeting materials or have any questions regarding the meeting, call the clerk's office at 486-8636.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.